God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the search for security. Who of us doesn't yearn for security? But I've found it in the Lord, the God of heaven. One of my life verses is from Psalm 27, "The Lord is the stronghold of my life." And God knows there have been a number of times when I have been very deeply aware of my own weakness, my helplessness, my defenselessness. I've needed a stronghold. And I have a letter here before me today, which is a shining, a ringing testimony to the reality of that stronghold in the midst of the very hard realities of this life. This is a student testimony that was given at Reformed Theological Seminary Chapel in Orlando, Florida. The student's name is Bill Marsh, and because he gave this in a public service, I think he will not mind at all that I read it to you. He sent me this. "I have been asked to share with you this morning something of the present work of Christ in my life. Some of you are aware of the situation we are involved in, and others are not, so let me give you a little context. On July 13th, Patty and I found out that the baby we were expecting in December would be twins. Of course, that was quite a shock. The next day, we were told that the twins were conjoined, what most of us grew up hearing called Siamese twins. The news, though, got worse. Our little girls are sharing a common heart and liver. The prognosis for them is not good. They will be taken sometime in early to mid-November by C-section at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital, and then immediately taken next door to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where doctors there have a fair bit of experience in these very rare anomalies. Some of you may be aware of the pioneering work in the area of conjoined twins done in the 60s and 70s at Children's Hospital by Dr. Everett Koop, a PCA ruling elder, that's Presbyterian Church of America, ruling elder, and Ronald Reagan's Surgeon General. As I have thought about how Christ is working in my life presently, I have come to two facets I want to share with you this morning. The first is the situation itself. Patty and I see it as a work of Christ in our lives. It is an awful, terrible situation from which we would give most anything to be rid. However, apart from any other myriad number of purposes which are good and sufficient to the Father, we know that God has sovereignly allowed this condition in our daughters to further conform us to His image. Suffering is by definition painful. If it weren't, I'm not sure that it would still be suffering. But the term painful is not an exhaustive description. Last Thursday in chapel, we sang "How Firm a Foundation." The fourth verse goes, "When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine." God is boiling out dross and refining gold, much to our consternation at times. But we will not perish. We know, though, that the work of Christ is not limited to just the comfort He gives us in moments of great trial, as perhaps the greeting card writers would have us believe. But His work is the situation itself in our lives. And you perhaps remember that I said just a few days ago, it is the events that reveal God's will to us. Bill Marsh goes on to say, "The second thing I want to share about the work of Christ in our lives is the value of truths known and stored away in the reservoir of the mind and heart. Dr. Nash said in his apologetics class last spring that the last person you want to call in a crisis, like a death or other tribulation, is a philosopher. And let me clarify, that has nothing to do with Dr. Nash. The problem of evil and the reality of suffering in the world are not questions best debated in a hospital waiting room or at a wake. And yet I am deeply grateful to have wrestled with and hidden away the fruit of that kind of wrestling. I think that wrestling and its recall is a work of Christ in my life. Of course, scripture memory and study of the scriptures have formed the largest part of the reservoir. Archibald Alexander, an early professor of theology at Princeton Seminary, wrote in 1844 of affliction, "Be more solicitous to have the affliction sanctified than removed." God is not removing the afflictions in our lives, but we are being sanctified through this time. We have had burned onto our hearts truths which we formerly knew only in a dry, sterile, propositional sense. The picture at the end, Romans 8, of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on my behalf and my daughter's behalf, has often been an immeasurable balm. That's spelled B-A-L-M. We know that nothing, neither trouble nor hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, or danger, shall ever separate us from the love of God in Christ. And that is something of how Christ is at present working in my life right now. Thank you, Bill Marsh, for that testimony. And let me read to you the passage that he refers to from Romans 8. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Let me pause right there and remind those of you who feel that you can't pray, or you don't know how to pray, or God isn't hearing your prayers. Did you know that Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God praying for you and me? That's what this verse says, Romans 8, 34. Verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" And may we add, "or the news that the twins that your wife is carrying are Siamese?" If this doesn't apply, I don't know when it would apply. Because God is the same yesterday and today and forever. To go on with that passage, "As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced," and this is the Apostle Paul writing here, don't forget, he had known many sufferings. He said, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And I say to you today, is that a secure place to be? Or what? I believe with all my heart that that is security. I don't know what's going on in your life today. I guess it's a good thing I don't. because I wouldn't be able to speak any more clearly and directly to your personal need than I can by giving you God's word. He knows what your need is. He saw to it that these words were written thousands of years ago, and there they are in black and white. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Shall we go back on what Paul says, or shall we recognize that it was the inspired word of God written down for you and me today? The only safe place in the whole universe is the will of God. Do you know any other? Remember, he calls us according to his purpose. He predestines us. Now, please don't get all hung up and worried about whether or not you're predestined. Just call on him and start doing what he says. He says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." He died for us. He will give us everything. He prays for us. In all these things, things which would deprive anyone who doesn't know Christ of any possible source of security, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors, for we have him who loves us. We have him who is in total control of every single blessed thing that can ever touch us. Every single blessed thing. And don't you forget it.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.